So I'm going to introduce the panel. I'm going to try to keep my comments fairly brief because we really want to take advantage of the willingness of our two Jenners to subject themselves to sitting in the hot seat. So I'm going to give some introductory comments, and then we're going to Chris Murray with John Deere is going to talk about the Harvest ID system and some of the things from that John Deere has, so that the when Jonathan and Todd talk, they don't have to introduce that part of the topic. And then we'll turn to Jonathan and Todd sharing their experiences in electronically tracking modules. Now, when I talk about that, one of the contexts is, you know, for a long time we've had these RFID tags on the round modules, and every time I say we haven't been taking advantage of it, someone will raise their hand and say, oh, no, I'm using that. But that doesn't happen too often. The majority of us, I think, are not using that RFID tag on there. We're, you know, putting another number on it, spray painting it, doing something else. And part of me is like, that's kind of ridiculous. It's already got a unique identifier. Why can't we take advantage of that? And there's a lot of reasons why that hasn't happened yet, and you'll hear that from some of our panelists. But so that's going to be one of the focuses of our topic. But as we go through this, and I hope we have a good discussion like we did after the Australian discussion, if some of you have personal experiences, not just with RFID tags, but maybe you found a way to use some technologies to do a better job of tracking your modules and you want to share it with us, that's on the table. And one of the things, I don't know if Todd will want to talk about his experiences with My Modules, which is something that EWR offers that allows kind of their own way to electronically track modules without using RFID tags. That's on the table, too. I always have to bring my show and tell because I'm not very exciting. I always have to have some toys to try to wake you up a little bit. I want to show this. This is in the picture is Jared Day, who's a John Deere guy that's been working a lot with Todd at his gen. And we were trying to think, what are some technologies to read these RFID tags that maybe don't involve a big antenna bridge and a lot of upfront investment? Well, this is a handheld unit. It's still not cheap. It's about $1,200. And this will read an RFID tag, and it will pair with an Android device. So you can just point this, and it'll pull in all the information off the RFID tag. The other thing that's nice about it, it also will read a standard barcode, so the same barcode on your PBI tag. It'll read a QR code, which I'll explain what those are later. So it's a pretty versatile handheld device. In order to see how well it might work on the gen yard, I had our EFS group write a little custom app for an Android, and that's what's pictured in the right there. And they said it took their programmers about a week to write this little Android app that will connect to this device. It will read in the serial number from the RFID tag. Then it will, if it realizes that's a John Deere module, it says JD module, then it pulls in the GPS coordinates from the Android device, and it also has the ability to add a little text field. I just bring that up. We're not really trying to promote this, but if you had a need to read these tags and didn't have the software, we have made this app available, and the support is me, so you're not going to get a lot of support from it, but that is available on our website. If you want to know more about it, we can make that available. But just to show, you know, some of you say this is not something I want to deal with. It's not top of mind concern. But just start thinking about, as we have this technology available, what things you might be able to do with it. And then as more creative people start experiencing this technology, as we'll hear from some of our panelists, I think we'll find there's some advantages to the gen as well as the producer. Obviously, the producer's advantage, not having to worry about putting tags out and knowing, and I'll say this hesitantly, but knowing that all his cotton got picked up and ginned, all right? There's not a round module lost somewhere. But this is just an example of something I did. I was on Todd's gin yard, and so he puts a barcode on the first part of your load, and you can explain this better than I can, and then has all a set of usually six or four round modules. So I just walked through his gin yard with this thing, and the red squares are the barcode that I read, and the green circles are the last couple digits of the serial number on that round module. And so that didn't take me long to do. And then I just pulled that into a program, and now I've got a map of kind of an inventory of the gin yard. And that's just using the GPS receiver on the Android. I wasn't really drunk that day. That's not why the lines squiggle around. But anyway, the other thing this told me was that the GPS signal on that kind of cheap Android is good enough if we want to locate something in the field, right? We can, well, no, it's in this corner of the field. We may not be able to say it's, you know, 3 feet from this corner in the field, but we know pretty good relative location where things are. If we wanted to use this for some kind of inventory control on the gin yard, we might want to add a little correction to that GPS and get some straight lines and a little better repeatability. But this is just, you know, as we think about when we get these electronic technologies, it becomes easy to do a lot of extra things beyond just numbering and tracking. Another thing I want to point out is there are some starting to be some tools to take that are out there already to take advantage or take to start interfacing with this RFID information. Many of you maybe use EWR software or eCotton software at the gin. So we kind of worked with eCotton this year. And one of the things when I've talked to some of you, what if we got rid of, you know, we just tried to use the RFID tag. And one of the questions several gins said to me, well, how do I know I'm picking up the right cotton when I get out there? And what if there's a neighbor that's got his on this end of the turn row and then there's some here? How do I know for sure that I'm picking up the cotton without the driver trying to get out there and read this little tag? And so this this is an app that is also for the Android that's available from the Google Play Store that EWR developed for their customers. And what it will allow you to do is to pull in the file from John Deere. And then when you send your dispatch, your driver out to pick up these round modules, it's designed to work with this thing. And the driver, if he points it and that module number's on the list, the screen turns green and it says you're good to go. If it's not, it turns red and makes the ugly noise and says, no, that's not one of the modules on your list. So this is just a simple thing, but just to say we're starting to develop some tools to start to take advantage of these RFID tags, even though there hasn't been a lot available to this point. Another thing I want to briefly mention that we're working on, some of you in the technology committee heard about this today, is a numbering standard for cotton modules, very similar. Before I say that, it's going to be a voluntary standard, so not something you have to do, but the concept is very similar to the PDI tag on the bale. That is, we want to develop an industry standard so that if someone beyond John Deere wants to start making RFID tags, or someone else wants to put barcodes on modules, that there's a single standard, and so that at you as a ginner will know that if you get a barcode on a module, you know how your software is going to know how to interpret that barcode and read it correctly. Or whether that's, you can see I talked about the data matrix is another code, a QR code. We're going to try to accommodate all of those with a standard. These data matrix, QR code, a lot of you, your cell phones, we'll have an app that can read these things. So that's something that a software provider could build in where you wouldn't need a specialized RFID reader. And one of the things in the standard we're proposing is that we would require, if you're going to do electronic tracking, electronic numbering, we would require that it have a minimal, a 1D barcode, and then everything else, whether it's an RFID, a QR code, data metrics, that's all optional. But that we would have that 1D barcode as kind of a base to start with. What that numbering might look like, and this is not set in stone, and we're open, and why I wanted to bring it to your attention is we're still open for input through the summer on this, but right now we're looking at using, kind of like on your PBI tag, you have your gin code and then your bale number. Instead of a gin code, we're looking at using a company code. So what let's imagine that there's a, you know, you're contracting, you're purchasing these RFID tags, and you want to put them on traditional modules, and you're buying them from a company in another country. If that manufacturer follows this, they can get a global code that will ensure that the number they generate for you is unique. All right, so that GS1 is kind of a global number that company can buy access to. It's very affordable, about $200 initially and a $50 license fee that this is not you would pay. The company generating these numbers would pay. And then we'd ensure that that has a unique ID. And then we'll have a serial number And a lot of you are already, you know, figuring out ways to assign load numbers to these individual modules. That would still be an option that the software could provide. So the two things we're looking at will have a code and a serial number. And then the question I asked to you to think about is, are there other things we want to put in that standard? And one would be like module type. But these are things that have to be pre-printed. So you have to think about things that would, you know, when it comes from the factory, that those are the kind of codes. So like, is it a round module, square module? Are there other things that we might want to code for? So that's something that we're working on. And again, the scope of this standard is just purely on tracking and numbering, not about data sharing. And so that, as I say that, I'm going to kind of contradict myself. That standard, I'm not contradicting myself, that standard, that's all that we'll deal with. But really a lot of this is we're trying to set the stage for the future where we're not just using these identifications for tracking and logistics and ownership, but ultimately there will be information that will be passed. And so I've used this example with you before. We're very far along on this leaf index for hairiness that will we think we'll be able to release ratings for 2016 varieties, where 0 would be a very smooth leaf variety, 10 would be a very hairy variety. And so when these come to your gen, if you know that variety, you can look it up and say, oh, that's a hairy variety. Maybe I need to turn on another nick cleaner, or I need to do extra cleaning. Or you can at least tell your grower the reason you have a lot. One of the reasons you may have a high leaf grade is because that's a really hairy variety that you grew. And then, of course, ultimately, I think that we're going to want to look at being able to take this information back to the grower, especially the classing data. One of the things that, you know, Robbie Seals was talking about, and Tommy, I know, has tried to track down when we have bark calls. See, weird thing, weird extraneous matter. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go back and know where that bale came out of the field and see if we can establish some, you know, are there anything going on in the field that's causing some of these problems? So I think there's going to be a lot of advantages to ultimately in the long term to establishing this electronic tracking and then sharing information. So that's where we're going in the long term. But in the short term, I think, again, this tracking and just numbering is going to be a valuable tool for gens as well.